Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Koramore. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Koramore. Tama bina ke dhayalu jagat samsare. Tama bina ke dhayalu jagat samsare. Patita pavana hetu tavavatara. Mostama patita prabhu napaibeara. Mostama patita prabhu na pai beara. Aha prabhu nityananda premananda suki. Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. Kripa Bala Kanakaro Ami Baro Dukhi. Kripa koro kana koro ami baro dukhi. Daya koro sita pati advaita gosha. Daya koro sita pati advaita gosha. Tava kripa bole pai chaitanya nita. Daya koro haha swarup sanatana rupa ragunata. Haha swarup sanatana rupa ragunata. Pata juga chideva prabhu lokana. Daya koro shi acharya prabhu shinivasa. Yeah. Daya Kara Sita Pati. Daya Kara Shia Charya Prabhu Srinivasa. Ramachandra Sangamage Narutamudasa. Ramachandra Sangamage Narutamudasa. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kara More. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kara More. Kama bina ketayalu jagatam sare. Kama bina ketayalu jagatam sare. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahang, Suburbita, Kasharya, Asadhara, Sadushi, Shiman, His Avangre, Shalesi, Bhaktivedanta, Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada, Kidai, Lord Premanande, Hariwa, all glories to the sound devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutai, Srimate, Bhaktivedanta, Swamite, Namane, Namaste, Sarasvatunde, Ve, Gauravani, Pracharane, Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, Paskatya, De, Siddharane. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishubhanu Siddhadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trivyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What is the on the board there? Which verse? Which chapter? 22. And 200 and what? 285. What's it? 65. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service, Text Number 65. There's no purpose, so I'm just going to read the translation. One who is expert in logic, argument, and the revealed scriptures, and who has firm faith in Krishna, is classified as a topmost devotee. He can deliver the whole world. Text 66. One who is expert in logic and understanding of revealed scriptures, and who always has firm conviction and deep faith is not blind, is considered topmost devotee in devotional service. Purport: this verse appears in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.17 by Srila Rupa Goswami. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste, Sarasatundeve, Gauravani Vicharane, Nirvishesha, Shunivadi, Paskyadyade, Satarane. Well, I know that. But this, I can say something in between, I hope. Here in nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining about Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttama in relationship to devotees. But as it's explains here, and as Prabhupada explains in his Nectar of Devotion, when we use the word neophyte or middle or topmost, or use the words Kanista, Madhyama, and Uttama, these are relative positions. And it depends upon what we're talking about, what they apply to. In this particular case, in the second chapter of Nectar of Devotion, I think we have a Nectar of Devotion. Do we have a Nectar of Devotion here? No. Anyhow, it's either second or third chapter, which is what this is referring to. This is Kanista, Madhyama, and Uttama according to eligibility for devotional service. In other words, pure devotional service, anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma dadavritam, has certain qualifications under Srila Rupa Goswami, such as the activity is done for Krishna, it's favorable towards Krishna, and the intent is to please Krishna. That's just normal devotional service. Now, the Uttama Adhikari that is referred to in that verse also includes that Krishna is solely the object and is not mixed with any other desire. Anyabhilasita shunyam, only to please Krishna, and jnana karma dabritam, is not mixed with other activities. But here we're talking about eligibility to obtain the platform of Nishta. That is, Nishta is the platform where there's no material desire. Or even if there is material desire, one does not act according to the desire. It's called Mam Chayo Vyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samatityaitam Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. When one is engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, one at once attains the platform of Brahman, Brahman realization. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Nishoshiti Nakangshiti, Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu, Madhvaktim Labhate Param. One becomes joyful, one no longer hankers and laments, and sees everyone as a spiritual being, a servant of Krishna, and Krishna along with them. Then, mad bhakti lavate param, then one can enter into devotional service. So this is what this is referring to. In order to come to that platform of nishta or brahma-bhuta, the qualifications are explained in the second chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, or the third, because I can look it up, but I don't want to spend the time. It's either the second or third, eligibility for pure devotional service. And there, it explains about the four different types of devotees who approach Krishna. Those who are in distress, those who are wanting some material benefit, those who are inquisitive, and those who are searching for knowledge of the truth, the absolute truth. And different personalities are given for each one of those the platforms. Gajendra, for someone who's in distress, who approached Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj, who wanted some material gain. The sages, Namasharanya, who are inquisitive. And the four Kumaras, who are searching for knowledge. So Prabhupada said that the topmost Kanista Adhikari are the four Kumaras for eligibility. And because they were curious about what pure devotional service is, they all went all the way to Vaikuntha, and there Krishna gave his blessings, his benediction, and they became actual devotees of Krishna because they were the topmost eligible candidates for pure devotional service. But that does not mean that if one goes through the platform of Ado, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti Syat, Tato Nishta, that one has obtained the platform of Nishta, then from the platform of Shraddha, or faith, one has obtained the topmost platform. One is still on the intermediate platform by faith, but he's on the topmost platform for eligibility to accept devotional service, pure devotional service. And when one accepts pure devotional service, then the progressive levels of ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prema go on. And when one comes to the platform of bhava or prema, then one is considered to be an uttama adhikari by faith in realization. Before that, one has to become expert in logic, understanding the revealed scriptures, develop firm conviction that is not blind, and then one is considered a topmost devotee by, on the level of eligibility to accept pure devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances. Although there may be some material desires that are present, but one is not distracted by them. This is an important point from the point of view, especially what Prabhupada talked about, who's actually qualified to give initiation. In a letter to Janardhan in 1969, Janardhan, not the Janardhan who was in Montreal, Prabhupada's disciple, first devotee to get the name of Janardhan. Then Prabhupada wrote in the letter that the words of the pure devotee, the Uttama Adhikari, they're as good as scripture. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whatever he wrote is as good as scripture. That a topmost devotee is on the level of Srimati Radharani, who considers Srimati Radharani, sees others, even her own servants, as being a better devotee of Krishna than herself. That such a devotee should be considered to be uttama and qualified to give initiation. Become an initiating guru. There are others, Prabhupada said, that they're not on that level, but they're strictly following, as Prabhupada would repeat in different places. They follow strictly the previous acharyas, and therefore they can also give initiation. Prabhupada said the same thing to Tamal Krishna Maharaj in April of 1977, where it was some of Prabhupada's disciples were a little ambitious to give initiation. And Prabhupada was not very happy about that because they wanted to give initiation even in his presence, and they were taking credit for their service and not giving Prabhupada any credit, as if they were disconnected from the parampara. They somehow or another got some empowerment without being a surrendered servant to their guru, giving him the credit, and the acharyas and parampara, ultimately Krishna credit. So then Prabhupada said that, actually I'd like to retire. I like all of you, all my disciples, to become acharya, to become initiating gurus. But they have to be qualified. Little thing, strictly following, strictly following. Otherwise, you can cheat, but you won't be effective. You won't be connected. You won't be connected to the actual source of spiritual energy. You can put on a show, but you won't be effective. And he mentioned his godbrothers, that many of them, they try to take up that role, but they were not interested in actually following the instructions of their Guru Maharaj. He mentions that also in Adi Lila chapter 12, how Advaita Acharya, there were divisions within his own family, and some of them became Asara, and some of them were Sara. They were effective and ineffective in spreading Krishna consciousness. So the two, and Prabhupada mentions this in other places, and includes even the intermediate devotee, in the fifth chapter of the fifth text of the Nectar of Instruction, he mentions who's an Uttama Adhikar, as we'll go over here, by faith. And he says that the topmost devotee, he has assimilated the scriptures. He doesn't see any contradiction between one instruction in the Bhagavad Gita and another instruction. Even Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita in the fifth chapter. Only the ignorant speak of karma yoga as being different from the analytical study of the material world, Sankhya. That one who's actually learned knows that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the results of both. In other words, by both paths, one will come to the platform of Nishta, or Brahma-Bhuta state, realizing that we're not this body. And then after that, then karma yoga takes one to the platform of pure love of Krishna, karma yoga and Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the topmost devotee has assimilated the scriptures to such an extent he doesn't see that there's contradictions between them. Or as Prabhupada said in the Happening album, the original album, that this philosophy is the topmost philosophy because it's the most consistent, exacting, and voluminous due to the unbreakable system of disciple succession. Then he says the next qualification is that one should realize one's spiritual identity. That's possible at the stage of beginning asakti, and it goes on to the platform of bhava, and actually is realized at the platform of prema, going to Madhuri Kandambini and nectar of devotion. Then he should also experience and realize that there's no difference between Krishna and his name. When he chants or hears Krishna's name, his form, his associates, their qualities, their loving exchanges, their pastimes, they all appear within his consciousness when he hears the holy names. And he should have no other desire than to distribute Krishna consciousness, to spread Krishna consciousness. He's completely dedicated to that. Such a devotee should be accepted as an Uttama Adhikari, and everything one has should be offered to him, especially the brahmacharis who serve, they should offer everything to the Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava. He's actually qualified to be an initiating guru or spiritual master. But if one imitates such an Uttama Adhikari, then he's sure to fall down. If he's not actually on the level, but just imitates an Uttama Adhikari platform, then he's sure to fall down. Therefore, probably in the last paragraph in that text, he says one should learn how to discriminate who's on what level, and not out of sentiment, just accept sentimentally that because someone is an initiating guru, therefore he becomes an Uttama Adhikari. No, when one is an Uttama Adhikari, then one is automatically an actual guru, whether he has the designation or not. And at the same time, one should realize one's own position, one's own level of spiritual attainment, so that one could properly engage in loving exchanges with the devotees. Because the basis of this discrimination is not dry speculation or criticism, it's properly engaging in loving exchanges, in the six loving exchanges. Tadati praktigrinati, guyam akiti prichati, bhunte bojayate chaiva, shadvidam pratilakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, and inquiring confidentially, accepting prasadam, distributing prasadam. These are the six loving exchanges exchanged by the devotees. So the whole idea of discrimination is so that we know who's our superiors, who's our equals, and who's we are supposed to help, give kripa to. That way we can properly engage in the loving exchanges and make spiritual progress. Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura has given us, Prabhupada said, a hint, who's an uttama adhikari, by his ability to convert others into becoming Vaishnavas. Not just giving initiation, that's not really any indication of anything. People can give initiation, by one way or another, can induce people to give initiation. I remember, I heard that in South America, there was one devotee from the Gaudiya Math, he was giving initiation quite freely. So one initiation, he gave everyone who was present, including the postman, who came to deliver a letter, initiation. So it's actually the ability to convert others to become actual Vaishnavas. Then an intermediate, Prabhupada writes that a neophyte devotee, an intermediate devotee, can also accept disciples. But such disciples should be on the same level, and it should be understood that they can't advance very well due to his insufficient guidance. Therefore, one should be careful to accept an uttama adhikari as one's spiritual master. This is not saying that Prabhupada didn't want to, in my understanding, that the process of initiation shouldn't go on, but though it should be understood, everyone should understand. Everyone should have some discrimination, but those who are authorizing people to give initiation, especially they should understand. Otherwise, it's just chaos or sentiment. Or a shastric, or whimsical. They should understand why, because there are duties for different types of spiritual masters. Prabhupada has defined what the duty for the topmost devotee is. For instance, he can accept all kinds of contributions. But if those who are authorizing those who give initiation, directly or indirectly, authorize people to be initiating gurus and allow them to accept all kinds of contributions on every level without being an uttama adhikari, then one way or another, their devotional service, as Prabhupada writes in a different place, will either become slackened or they'll fall down. Not a good idea. On the other hand, the idea that one should accept an uttama adhikari as one's spiritual master. Uttama adhikari by faith, that is all the exalted qualities that have been explained before, completely have assimilated the philosophy, have personally realized their own spiritual identity, and have experienced that there's no difference between Krishna and his name, and 100% dedicated to spreading Krishna consciousness in following the example of the acharyas, that's very rare, uttama adhikaris by. But everyone in the society is obliged to follow the uttama adhikari who's present, especially by his instructions, Śrīla Prabhupāda. At least in this movement, if one does not accept Śrīla Prabhupāda as the founder Acharya, as the uttama adhikari, the perfect devotee, then why be in the movement? Why claim you're in the movement when you don't accept the founder Acharya and his instructions? have you cast doubt instead of trying to explain and create faith in the founder Acharya, then found your own movement. Find your own movement. Go somewhere else. Why try to minimize, why try to cut the root of the tree in the name of saving the tree? It's hypocrisy, actually, or just ignorance. In 68, actually, there was one devotee in the movement who had taken sannyas from Srila Prabhupada, and he came to the temples in New York and other places, and he started to claim that Prabhupada didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know how to spread Krishna consciousness. He came dressed in black and claiming that Prabhupada didn't know how to spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world. And the devotees became very disturbed. There were many offenses committed. Finally, he left the movement with another devotee, founded New Vrindavan. It was a New Vrindavan at the time. They just went to a place in West Virginia, trying to start their movement unsuccessfully. And after some time, they realized that they couldn't do anything. Just two of them sitting on a hill. So then they wrote to Srila Prabhupada and surrendered to him. And then it became New Vrindavan. So Prabhupada said, if you believe you have a better way than me, than our acharyas, spreading Krishna, go ahead, prove it, do it. Just don't tell everyone, try to minimize faith. Show by example, show by your own example that what you're talking about is better. So that's fine, everyone has their free will. But once you try to understand what it means, Uttama Adhikari, what it means the founder Acharya, what it means that Prabhupada is the founder Acharya, and why, for instance, I will read the other part, why is it that some devotees claim that Prabhupada, he made mistakes? And Prabhupada, that was addressed in a morning walk with Satsarupa Maharaj and Jayadvaita Swami, about, they asked Prabhupada, sometimes devotees, they claim that Prabhupada, that the Acharya makes mistakes, that he misquotes verses, or he falls asleep, or whatever. As one person came into the temple in Dallas one time when Tamalkrishna Maharaj was giving class, and he saw Tamalkrishna Maharaj had glasses on, and immediately pointed out the glasses and said, you told me that this person is perfect, but I see he wears glasses. How can he be perfect? And then he left. Hide your glasses if you have them. So they addressed, they probably said, well, you don't understand. Then Jayadvaita Swami said that maybe we don't understand what perfection is. And Prabhupada said, yes, you're seeing perfection from a material point of view. The Acharya is not omniscient. His perfection is, which you can find throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, under Dvaita Acharya's perfection. He's God. And what is his perfection? It is said, bhakti samshanat. This is quoted many places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. His perfection is how he's spreading Krishna consciousness. That's his perfection. He may not be omniscient, but if he's a perfect instrument for Krishna, then whatever he's doing is Krishna doing it. He doesn't have to know everything. He has to simply be a perfect instrument for Krishna, that's all. Krishna doesn't have to tell him everything. He just has to tell him whatever is necessary for him to become a perfect instrument. Therefore, the Acharya sometimes is sociably, from the point of view of people who are sociable, what is that? Sociably acceptable, what they're saying or doing. Or from the point of view of being politically correct. The Acharya is not necessarily going to be, whatever he does and says is necessarily acceptable socially, or whatever we want, or politically correct. We have devotees in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, for instance, who are playing dice and chanting Hare Krishna. One of them was whipping, had a whip and made people Krishna conscious by snapping the whip. This is not, even we think he's breaking the, you know, playing dice. He's not social, he's politically incorrect. And he's not acceptable in our society either. He wouldn't even get initiation. Yet he's an acharya. So what to speak of an acharya who's preaching and says things according to time, place, and circumstance that appear to be, to us, to some people, not acceptable, so not socially acceptable, or politically incorrect. Whether we can use words like women, or blacks, or Hitler, or the moon. And these are trigger words that invoke emotions in the hearts of people, especially devotees. And we may claim that this is socially unacceptable. People will not accept this. They'll impede our distribution of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, even one scholar wrote in some article that Prabhupada has misled the devotees in the movement by these such statements that he made at times and destroyed their bhakti, even, he claims, a devotee scholar. So, actually, Prabhupada was not meaning that everything he said was supposed to be distributed or taken out of context and utilized to criticize him. That's not why he was making such statements at times, because he was preaching to different audiences and he had to preach according to time, place, and circumstance. So he didn't try to agitate people's minds by getting into an argument with them over certain social or political topics, but he gave a Vedic viewpoint, but a very specific Vedic viewpoint that wouldn't conflict with the person's viewpoint, and he could actually preach to such a person more effectively. As I gave the example, when I was first came to Houston, Texas, and I was distributing books there, we used to go to a place called Vidor, Texas. Have you ever heard of Vidor, Texas? Vidor, Texas was the headquarters of the Ku Klux Klan. So we went to the Vidor, Texas. That's where we distributed the most Bhagavad Gitas. Now at that time, although generally we went wearing regular acceptable clothes, pants and shirt, etc. That's how we dressed when we went to Vidor, Texas. They were not the most, in one sense, open-minded people concerning other cultures and religions. And we went there, and we didn't really talk so much about, you know, how to surrender to Krishna. You had to see everyone equally. We were friendly with them, and they were very friendly people. And they bought Bhagavad Gitas just because we were friendly with them. And we talked about things that were acceptable to them. Now, we could have went there in devotee clothes and told them, you know, you're all in Maya because you don't see everyone equally. You know, you're going to go to the darkest regions of hell. But we probably wouldn't have sold any Bhagavad Gitas. Now, we didn't mislead them. We didn't tell them everything. It's foolish to tell everyone everything because they won't understand. But the preaching was effective, according to our Prabhupada's estimation, because numerous Bhagavad Gitas were distributed to them. And they gave very nice donations. On the other hand, so-called religious people that we approach sometimes, they were quite negative. They were quite much more closed-minded than even these so-called fanatics. So Prabhupada, if we look at his preaching, it was only to give people Krishna consciousness. And if we criticize it, then we'll fall down. That's all. I mean, we don't have to physically fall down in a gross way, but our consciousness, as soon as we criticize the acharya, we're disconnected. You may try to become connected with some other authority, but if you're criticizing the acharya, it doesn't work. If you cut off the root of the tree, you know, a tree connected, and you try to connect with another one, you've already cut off your connection. The offense is there. You don't nullify the offense just by approaching another authority. And if he agrees with your offense, then he's not really a very good authority to take shelter of. So let me just go on. Text 67. One who is not very expert in argument and logic based on revealed scriptures, but has firm faith, is considered a second-class devotee. He also must be considered most fortunate. One who does not know scriptural argument very well, but has firm faith, is called an intermediate or a second-class devotee. So this is all by faith. One whose faith is soft and pliable is called neophyte, but by gradually following the process, he will rise to the platform of a first-class devotee. First-class by faith, by the way. By eligibility for pure devotional service. One whose faith is not very strong, who's just beginning, should be considered a neophyte devotee. This also appears in the Bhakti Rasamrita 1.2.19, text 71. That's where I go up to, I think, 71. A devotee is considered superlative and superior according to his attachment and love. Now we're getting into by faith, by attachment, not just by eligibility. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the following symptoms have been ascertained. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur stated that if one has developed faith in Krishna consciousness, he is considered an eligible candidate for further advancement in Krishna consciousness. Those whose faith are divided into three categories, Uttama, Madhyama, and Kanista, first class, second class, and neophyte. A first class devotee has firm conviction in the revealed scriptures, is expert in argument according to the Shastras. He's firmly convinced of the science of Krishna consciousness. The Madhyama Bhakta, Adhikari, or second class devotee, has firm conviction in Krishna consciousness, but he cannot support his conviction by citing Shastric references. A neophyte devotee does not yet have firm faith in this way. The devotees are typed. Oh. In this way, the devotees are typed. The standard of devotion is also categorized in the same way. A neophyte believes that only love for Krishna or Krishna consciousness is very good, but he may not know the basis of pure Krishna consciousness or how one can become a perfect devotee. Actually, I have to use the restroom. Is there a restroom near here? I'll be right back. Haribo.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The standard of devotion is also characterized in the same way. So now, first paragraph is dealing with Uttama, Madhyama, and Kanishta by eligibility. Now there's a different subject now being talked about. The standard of devotion is also characterized in the same way. Neophyte believes that only love for Krishna or Krishna consciousness is very, very good. But he may not know the basis of pure Krishna consciousness or how one can become a perfect devotee. Sometimes in the heart of a neophyte, there's attraction for karma, jnana, or yoga. When he is free and transcendental to mixed devotional service, he becomes a second-class devotee, liberated devotee. When he becomes expert in logic, he can refer to the shastras and becomes a first-class devotee. The devotees are also described as positive, comparative, and superlative in terms of their love and attachment for Krishna. So the second paragraph is also by eligibility. Now let's see if the third paragraph. It should be understood that a Madhyamadhikari, a second-class devotee, is fully convinced of Krishna consciousness, but he cannot support his convictions with shastric reference. A neophyte may fall down by associating with non-devotees, because he is not firmly convinced and strongly situated. The second-class devotee, even though he cannot support his position with shastric reverence, can gradually become a first-class devotee by studying the shastras, associating with a first-class devotee. However, if the second-class devotee does not advance himself by associating with a first-class devotee, he makes no progress. There is no possibility that a first-class devotee will fall down, even though he may mix with non-devotees to preach. Conviction and faith gradually increase to make one an Uttamadhikari, a first-class devotee. So this is also eligibility. Now, the next verses will actually deal with by devotion and faith. I'll just read it. It says, a person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in him. So that's a different level. That's in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Kapila Muni explains about, or actually it was in Kapila Muni, one of the sages explain about what the first class, second class devotees are by faith, by shraddha, the development of shraddha or faith. So the point is that unless we develop the proper vision, the proper understanding, then we won't be able to appreciate Srila Prabhupada, how Prabhupada was able to spread Krishna consciousness not simply by logic and argument and conviction, but also by pure love. As Prabhupada writes the Uttama in the Nectar Devotion, that the perfect Uttama Adhikari, his, from his heart, comes forth an ocean of bhakti, of love. Just like from the sun come sun rays. So such a person is situated on the topmost platform and is acting Uttama Adhikari by faith. So this can't be imitated. It's achieved by endeavor and by mercy, by the Lord's mercy. It can't be simply artificially exhibited. Otherwise, then one is actually he's an imposter. He's a hypocrite. So that's more or less the conclusion, is that we have to examine Prabhupada before we join this movement, whether we actually consider his writing these books, his very activity, whether the books were actually helped us develop love, understanding and love for Krishna, whether we can actually go through the process of hearing and remembering in such a way as we can actually obtain the proper perspective on reality. And with that perspective on reality, we obtain conviction. So that in any circumstance, we remain steady in devotional service. And from that conviction, we learn how to associate with the devotees and the loving exchanges, so we develop the character of a pure devotee. If we're not at least convinced that this is these books of Prabhupada, that Krishna is, theoretically at least, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and these books of Srila Prabhupada are his perfect representation, his purports. If we're not at least theoretically accepting that, then reading these books or participating in the movement will not be very effective. If we don't connect with the founder Acharya as a representative of Krishna, we have doubts whether all the other representatives of Krishna are actually Acharyas in the real sense of the term. We even doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we're hesitant even to follow his instructions or his representative's instructions, then we won't derive very much benefit either from reading these books or from participating in the Hare Krishna movement. We may make a show, but it won't be very effective. It's not that we have to blindly accept that Prabhupada and Krishna are on the same level, or that Krishna is God and that Prabhupada is on the same qualitative level as Krishna. We don't have to blindly accept it, nor should we blindly reject it. If we're interested in this movement and advancing our Krishna consciousness through this movement, through Prabhupada's instructions, through his example, through the instructions and examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we can try it out and see if it works for us, whether we actually get the benefits that are advertised to some degree or another. And if we don't want to do that, then there's plenty of other movements we can go to. There's plenty of other things to do in this creation, if that's what we want to do. Why waste our time, and why waste other people's time enviously trying to take them off this path? If you don't like the path, then go to another path. But don't try and dissuade people from this path. If you want to participate, try to encourage people in an intelligent, logical way, not in a blind way, an irrational way, in a sentimental way. Try to, if you want to be on this path, then try to understand things in the perspective. Because as conditioned souls, we don't see anything right. Don't be so proud that we actually know what's going on. We don't even know who we are. We don't even know what we're not. We're completely bewildered. So be a little humble. Don't claim that we know everything. And that, you know, no one can know anything. Because we don't know everything. Dr. Frog. No, be a little humble. And as Prabhupada once, he was giving initiation, and they asked Prabhupada, this is 1968, before Prabhupada went back to India, one man stood up and said, "Swamiji, what are you doing for the Hare Krishna, for the world?" And Prabhupada said, "Well, you're participating in the Hare Krishna movement. Is it helping you?" And he said, "Yes." said, that's what I'm doing for the world. So we could try it out, see if it works, and then we can develop faith if it works. And if not, we're free to go wherever we want. But we can't, the leaders of the society shouldn't allow people to be free to destroy the society and concoct their own ideas, what their own methodology of approaching Krishna, apart from acharyas, encourage people to cut off the instructions coming from Prabhupada, which represents the acharyas. Otherwise, the movement will become just like another religion. No authority, no basis of authority, just mental speculation and concoction and whim. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, in 11th canto, that Madhyamadigari definition, Ishare Todo Dineshu Balisheshu. So there is a discrimination amongst the four categories. But then you read today, just by faith, Madhyamadigari has a faith, but they don't have a good discriminating power or shastra to defeat or.
No, what is it? What I read today is all of it was Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttama by eligibility for devotional service. It has nothing to do with the different stages that Rupa Goswami said, Adal, Shada, Tata, Soda, Sangha. There, a neophyte goes all the way up to Madhyam starts at Nishta. Liberation. Kanista goes all the way up to liberation. And then from Madhyam to Asakti, that's Madhyam. And then from Nishta to Asakti is Madhyam. And then Uttama is Bhava and Prema. That's way beyond just eligibility. That's perfection. You may become eligible to perform devotional service, real devotional service. You may put the iron in the fire, you have to keep it there in order to become hot and hot and hotter, and then it becomes just like fire. So nishtha is you keep put the iron in the fire, and then it goes from ruchi to sakti, then you're in madhyama adhikari, then you go to uttama, it becomes blazing hot, just like fire, it acts like fire, then you're in uttama.
Okay.
So eligibility is just keep the iron in the fire.
But one verse says, Maharaj, that they have a strong faith, but they don't have a sastric ability to convince others.
Yes, because their faith is not that. How can you have absolute or perfect faith, not perfect, but really strong faith if you can't convince anyone? It means you're convinced, but you're not that convinced. So there's different degrees of firm faith. Firm in the sense that no one can dissuade them that the goal is Krishna consciousness and pure devotional service, but they don't have enough realization, enough faith to effectively explain this to others. Why? Yes. Oh, that Madhuji had a question there. Over there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much. I'm just wondering the end of that purport in the Nectar of Instruction where Prabhupada is speaking about evaluating the level of the spiritual teachers. And so I was wondering if you could elaborate a little more on that, like how is a person to do that in the proper way? If I'm coming from, you know, I don't really know anything. And how am I to make that evaluation?
Well, we're always evaluating things. Now, whether we whether our evaluation is accurate according to Shastra, we have to study Shastra. There's no getting around studying Shastra. because we don't know. Yakshastra vidim utsrija, vartate tasmat shastram pramanam te, karya karya vivastito, yatva shastra vidanokta, karma karta miharase. Once you know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of scripture, and knowing such regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become purified. So I have to study shastra. That's why Prabhupada wanted us to have class in the morning and the evening, and maybe even study some other time. And those who repeat those who are teachers, they have to repeat shastra according to their understanding. Guru and sadhu. Guru repeats the message according to his understanding, and the sadhu follows and repeats also according to his realization. So the basis is shastra.
Thank you.
Yes, one more question. Here. Okay.
Krishna Maharaj, I was just wondering if you might have a little advice for someone who, has taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada, but he's not obviously available for initiation, but you are unable to find that connection with somebody to take initiation from, or perhaps the one that you did is not taking disciples anymore. Is it acceptable to just have that shelter of Srila Prabhupada if you don't find that? What advice would you give for someone in that position, please?
Well, in my opinion, initiation should be in our society, not it should be regulated according to what Prabhupada says in his books. In my understanding of what Prabhupada says in the books, initiation should be simply introducing one as a servant of the society of ISKCON. Not that the guru is initiating and now we have a separate institution within the institution called my guru's society of initiated devotees. That's not what Prabhupada wanted. It's not shastra. It's not even logical or reasonable. That's why you appointed the GBC to make sure that they become the ultimate authority. Now, we accept a guru because he should be on that level. He should be a complete cooperator with the rest of the society. That he should be, we're accepting a guru who's actually understanding that he's simply an assistant of his guru and ultimately of our acharya, Srila Prabhupada, in cooperating in this movement to become Krishna conscious, to help others become Krishna conscious. That's all he's supposed to do. He's not a manager. He doesn't deal with people's marriage life, or he doesn't collect money for his own projects. This is all artificial. It's not what Prabhupada says. It's Ken Shastra. And it's the cause of all our problems in our society, most of them. That our leaders are not following. You know, they're following, obviously they're following, but there's some defect in their understanding of what initiation means. It's caused a lot of problems within our society, both for the members of the society and then for those who give initiation. They start taking too many disciples, with the wrong understanding, they take disciples and they accumulate wealth and followers and prestige, more than they can possibly handle, beyond their level. And it's acceptable. And when the problems come, we don't really correct them. And there's so many problems, let me tell you. On the other hand, there's many nice devotees, advanced, they can give initiation, but not on the level of Prabhupada, not on the level of an Uttamadhikari. If they were, and even if they were, then they should be the best examples of a cooperator. That's what Prabhupada said, you love him, you've been shown by how you cooperate to keep this movement together after my disappearance, and how you become a prominent acharya, an independent, with your independent finances, independent disciples, independent everything, and the GBC more or less is supporting you in that role, which you shouldn't be taking. Does that make sense?
We sing every morning now that by the grace of Krishna one gets Guru, and by the grace of Guru one gets Krishna. So there's definitely a relationship, an eternal relationship with guru.
Yeah, of course, there's eternal relationship with everyone because we're all eternal. Why only guru?
But it, I still think there's like a.
I mean, there's Prabhupada said, he said in one letter to one devotee that you're an associate, you're claiming that only what was his name? The sannyasi at one time, Siddhasrup, that he's going back to the spiritual world, he'll take you to the spiritual world. But I let you know that all my disciples are all going back to the spiritual world. We'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. Why only Siddhasrup is going? Yet we're all going back to the spiritual world. And there, the devotee, our spiritual master, he's a servant of his spiritual master. He's nothing other than a servant of his spiritual master. That's why he's a spiritual master. So he's a servant of all the devotees. But especially he takes the surrender of his disciples and offers that to Krishna too. But everyone can be like that too. Not only my initiating guru, all the devotees. We're also supposed to be servants of all the devotees. And we're supposed to learn through our spiritual master how to become a proper servant of all the devotees, not only of him. That's the spiritual world. That's the spiritual world. In Goloka Vrindavan, it's the spiritual world in this ISKCON movement too. If he's the topmost devotee, the topmost servant of Krishna and the acharyas, then he should teach all his disciples to become the servants of the acharyas and Krishna and all the devotees. Because they're all, that's what the acharyas are doing. That's what Krishna's doing. It's big-minded, not this small-minded. One last question, okay.
We've found it a challenge in our preaching movement that devotees have accepted and worshipped someone as a spiritual master, considered them to be, by faith, an uttama adhikari that would never fall down, maybe encouraged to consider them that way, and then found that they fell down or that they were cheating and even not disclosing that they were falling down, even though they had been, you know, not following the principles. What concrete steps should we take or can we take to protect the movement and from that challenge, to meet that challenge that it causes people to lose faith and so forth?
Be honest, having proper discrimination. Leaders should give the proper, should assign services according to people's qualification, not according to imagination. Initiation is necessary to teach the disciple the proper service attitude. Because unless you have the opportunity to surrender, you can't develop the proper service attitude. But that guru should also have the proper service attitude. Not that he's become guru because he's giving initiation. He always remains the servant of his guru. In our case, the servant of Prabhupada. He has to be connected with Prabhupada and the acharyas. So if that's going on and properly handled, then we won't take good people, good devotees, and put them in a situation to make them bad devotees and then blame them. Because they're good devotees, but we create a system that makes them bad devotees, and then we blame them for the system, not the system. We don't change the system. We just put the blame that they were, you know, fallen or they're insincere. Yeah. Prabhupada gives the example to Brahmatirtha, big fires and small fires. If you're a big fire, you can put something into, you know, any kind of wood or whatever else into the big fire and it'll burn. But if you're a small fire, it has its limits. So we're taking small fires and we're throwing all kinds of things onto it. And when it goes out, we're claiming it's the small fire is responsible. Maybe there's some responsibility there, but still, we have to work intelligently. Not that we're fools. An intelligent person learns by hearing. Less intelligent learns by hearing or by seeing. And a fool doesn't learn. So we shouldn't be fools. And if people point out the emperor has no clothes, and we keep on saying, because you have no vision, you don't see the clothes, although they're not there, then we're just cheaters, hypocrites. Grantaraj, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande.
Later,